Hi.
Okay, Simi, it's your take, and this one's an interesting one. You ready?
Go for it.
Okay. In the modern day and age, and I think rightfully so, we teach about Judaism as in God loves us and we love God, and how to be in this relationship, how to go and dance with the commandments and the outlook and the beauty of it, okay?
Okay.
However, if you look at the sources, it's not just love that they talk about. They talk about having fear of God, Yirat Shamayim. Now, Yirat Shamayim people throw out, but if you translate it as fear of God, well, that's not really on vogue nowadays, the fear of God or awe. So how would you explain this to a modern day student of yours that is very receptive to the love of God, because that sounds nice, but what's with the fear? That sounds very old-fashioned and not very apropos.
Okay, interesting. So let's I'll open it up in a similar direction. When we talk about the fear of God, we also relate to God in different metaphors, like king.
And right, it goes together with the fact the king and the trembling, rather than the love and the dancing and the father.
Okay, so personally, I don't relate to that either.
What do you mean?
I wasn't brought up in a feudal system. The concept of a king is very distant from my
experience. Right, yeah. I can relate to the father figure much more than the king figure either.
But, so I don't think it's... I think it's an aspect of our society that we don't relate to that description of fear very well. And it's not the answer that I think we can give an explanation about how that notion of fear is relatable, because I don't think it is relatable. I think perhaps articulating the concept of fear in a different way, perhaps, let me play around with that.
Interesting. I thought you were going to try and show us how this fear is applicable, but you're saying maybe it's not, maybe we have to dissect it a bit and find the nugget that actually makes sense to us?
Right. For example, I'm sure on some level, the snoring is our son, on some level...
he refuses to be put down, so he's joining us here.
On some level, of course, the metaphor of king is powerful and important, and whatever explanation we give will have to retain that. We're not going all postmodern here. We're not going to deconstruct the concept of fear and leave it with an idea that in no way relates to
some kind of fluffy fear.
Right, so I'm going to draw it back. I'm going to draw back to some ideas that within traditional Judaism, and sort of we'll break them out and tell me what you think.
Okay, so you are dissecting it and bringing out the things that we can find relatable. At the same time, you're not changing it or modernizing it.
Right, I'll use the word perhaps maybe abstracting.
Okay, you're abstracting.
So the idea of fear, if we look at it at its, I suppose, most positive sense, it's we're not talking about trembling in terms of a fear that God's going to hit you. Now, of course, within Judaism, there is that aspect.
But I'm trying the word trembling is brought down.
Correct. So let's step back for a moment.
Okay.
The idea of fear or relating to God as some Kim Jong-un in the sky isn't particularly helpful. Now, is there an aspect of that that's relevant? Yes, but as I said, let's see if we can develop it in a different direction. The idea, I think, best expressed by Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch is the way he relates the root of the word Yirah to Korah.
Why? How's Yirah to Korah?
Well, he looks at Yirah being the intellectual parallel to Korah being in the physical. For example, just to play it out.
What does Korah mean?
So Korah means to call. You call someone before you. Yirah is the intellectual version of that. When you call someone before you, they appear before you physically. Yirah, in the sense that we're using it right now, is when you bring someone to the forefront of your mind.
Like Yaakov saw his father's face, so he didn't sin with Potiphar's wife.
Right. That medrash is coming to show, I think, in this respect, and when we're using this sort of idea, is that he brought him to mind, and thereby, I think this is also key, he acted differently.
And you would say he feared his father, he had Yirah of his father in that case.
In that respect, yes.
It makes sense, because also, you know, a child who should be have this respect or fear of their parents, they won't go out and do bad things because they have their parents in front of their face.
Right, because we would like it to be not that they're worried their parents are going to hit them. or send them to eternal damnation. We want the fear to be a positive thing. We want the fear to be a positive move, just to play it out.
Interesting, because I always looked at fear as a negative and then love as a positive. You're saying fear could also be the positive.
Because everything in Judaism should be able to manifest itself in the world. Fear of God, people say, well, you will refrain from doing bad because you're worried about repercussions. But perhaps in a more nuanced sense, if you have the notion or the conception of God at the forefront of your mind, you look at the world differently. Your lens is, if you believe there is a, or you live your life as if there is an omniscient being that is part of your experience, perhaps you'll interact with people differently. Perhaps you'll interact with the world differently. Thereby, we change this notion of fear into being some sort of negative withholding concept or limiting concept to an expansive concept. And it still retains the classic notion of fear.
Yeah, I mean, you'll also refrain from doing the bad, but you're saying sure. It's also a positive thing. Okay.
No, when I say positive thing, I don't mean that it will. It will be a positive move in how you look at the world, and thereby you will refrain from doing things that you think you shouldn't do, that go against your values.
Okay, but now it sounds very similar to the love. So, what would be the difference in somebody's day if they're in Yira mode or an Ava mode?
So I would say Yira mode would be the concepts that we, or classically, or ancient philosophers would associate with the notion of God, his omniscience, his omnipresence, his all these aspects of God's power that we, I mean, a lovely philosophical concept, but in this respect, they become practical, theological, transformative ideas. These are the sort of power ideas that we associate with God. If I have them as part of my way of looking at the world, I perceive the world differently and thereby will act differently. The love concept is relationship, is mercy, is connection.
It's softer, it's merciful.
And then as you said,
it's the Hashem and then the Elohim.
Correct.
Hashem being Yud-Ke Vav-Ke, which is the eternal, endless, but also deeply personal and merciful. And the Elohim is, like you said, the master, the king, the overarching, powerful God.
So what do you think of this? What are your thoughts?
I really like this idea. I hope I completely understood it. Let me see if I understood it. So the question was, in our days, how can we connect to the fear, the trembling? And instead of going into why we should be trembling and fearful, we are going to the overarching concept here of what is Yira. You're bringing Hirsch, shocker there, and you're saying that Yira is connected to Kara. Kara means to call. And you're saying that Kara is bringing someone before you by calling them in the physical sense. So I'm a spouse, I'm a parent, I'm a friend, I call someone, they come before me. Great. Then you connect it to Yira, which is having something before you, but in the mental, in your mental image.
In
the mental space. So I want to cheat on my test, and my parents, my father is always very into being honest. And I've seen him be honest even when it was hard. And his face is is in front of me, and thereby I don't cheat. That's not because he's going to whip me. However, it's more because of the principle of I can't be this if I have him in front of me.
Exactly. So just to maybe use more figurative language, your father's judging you. Metaphorically.
He's never going to know. Metaphorically. He's never going to know about it.
Right. But the reason why I use the word judge is that's another metaphor we use for God. In this respect, what does it mean your father's going to judge you? Is no, you bring your father to mind and he stands there in judgment of you. Not really, symbolically, but it makes you act differently.
Do you know, I said in the beginning, this is not very en vogue with mindfulness and loving relationships and all that. But you know what? Maybe it is. Because together with a feeling of being loved and all that also comes boundaries. If you want to have a successful relationship, anybody will tell you that it can't be a completely open relationship. It's not going to last. It's not going to feel safe. So in this case, if you're having, let's say, a relationship with your father and it's one of honesty, etc., then that'll come with a certain responsibility. Like, I belong to that family. We are honest. So maybe what you're saying is the Yiras. I really like that comparison to Yaakov, because he had his father in his mind. But if we belong to the family of Jews and we are, let's say, honest, let's say, again, we are honest in our dealings, then you could cheat in work, but you have that concept in your mind. I mean, you're not having God in your mind. He's not a a guy, you kind of have a picture of God in your head.
That's why the principles that we apply to God can be in your head.
Ah, so you have the fact that God is just.
The fact that God knows and cares about what I'm doing. His omniscience.
I hear. Do you think that you're kind of escaping the fact of reward and punishment? Because that is a big deal. We do believe in reward and we do believe in punishment. So this is a beautiful concept, but it's skirting that whole issue. Aren't you leaving yourself off a bit easy?
Well, you are right from the point of view that it does seem to sort of skirt the issue of, yeah, but we believe in schar v'onesh. Like, yeah. What happens? I don't think it takes away from that. I think the idea of yira, the way I've described it here, still relates to that emotion of trembling in fear of consequences of one's actions. It's not completely divorced, but that sort of emotion is kind of useless. This kind of description actually has transformative effects in the world.
Why is it useless? So, if I know that I'm going to get petch, I'm not going
to
do it.
Right, so the question is, if we break down, why are you not going to do it? You'll fall into my category.
Yeah, okay, I hear that. Because if you're talking about a true relationship, you're not just scared of the punishment. What you are scared of is the consequence of losing the relationship. If you cheat on your spouse, then technically speaking, ideally, you shouldn't just be scared that they're going to lock you out of your room and you have to sleep on the couch. That's not the point of being faithful. The point of being faithful is that you're going to break the relationship.
Bidiyuk.
So here...
And by the way, that's the way the medieval Jewish philosophers always categorized reward. This is probably a discussion for another time. But reward and punishment wasn't an external... something that was slapped on top of you. It was a natural consequence of what you did.
So back to the being faithful, because by the way, that's a very good analogy because of the whole Shir Hashirim and us and God. But being faithful to your spouse, if you're not faithful, yeah, you'll have to sleep on the couch. Yeah, you'll get that punishment. And maybe your spouse is not going to cook you food if they would have cooked you food. But it would be funny even to say that that's why you didn't want to do it. Oh, I'm not going to cheat on my spouse because I'll have to sleep on the couch. That's ridiculous.
It's because you've damaged the relationship irreversibly.
So yira, in an ideal sense, is I have God before me or his attributes before me. And then I don't want to sever that connection by doing this. Or I want to keep that connection, so I do this. And by the way, yes, there is also reward and punishment, but that's kind of a side thing. Thanks for listening. Sorry about the noise of our snoring child in my arms.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Bye.